Yeah, we are right on time, as we are each and every Tuesday, right at 11 o'clock a.m. I'm Teddy Dimitriadis, Professor Petro Vambaga, Costa Perdicaki, and we have joining us on the phone, Stamati, along with Manny Frangidakis, our weekly segment, 12 Points Wealth Management, with a weekly market update. Manny, Stamati, Kalimera from our studios.
Kalimera, Kalimera.
Kalimera, Kalimera. Manoli, Kalimera. Kalos ήρθες.
Do we have Manny on the phone? Doesn't look like we got Manny on the phone right now. Maybe
Manny?
We'll... Manny?
Yep.
There you
Έλα,
go.
Έλα, Μανώλη.
Νάτο.
Τώρα μόλις ανησυχούσα. Τώρα μόλις ανησυχούσα. Yeah, yeah. Δεν περιμένω τι να μας πεις για να βγάλουμε κανένα φράγκο. Άντε, γιατί δεν... δεν ξέρω πώς θα το κάνεις, αλλά... Yeah. Με Πέτρο, πώς θα θέλεις εσύ να βγάλουμε.
Εγώ, εντάξει, μια χαρά είμαι.
Και εγώ μια χαρά είμαι. Εντάξει, δεν τρέχει τίποτα. Ο Θοδωρής θέλει.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Καλημέρα. Καλημέρα, καλημέρα, Manny. It looks like we're going to have the best January as far as returns for many, many years. And it looks like McDonald's had a great showing, General Motors. Had some great results. Why don't you enlighten us?
Yeah, so obviously we're in the thick of earnings season. Earnings haven't been great, but they're not as bad as people expected them to be. Everyone, again, the end of 2022 was expecting the sky to completely fall and the rug to get pulled out of the market. It's not necessarily happening. Companies are still growing. They're still having decent earnings. They're not meeting the expectations of Wall Street, but they're not, you know, missing by a huge degree either. So from here, it's all about guidance. So yes, you had General Motors with a surprising beat this morning. You're seeing that reflected in Ford stock price as well, as they've been doing some maneuvering in the EV market. So we'll see. You also have Spotify coming out today, Snap coming out today. You know, a lot of the tech earnings haven't been great, but it's going to depend on where you're allocated. Still thinking that industrials have the best year out of everything else in the market. But we'll see what transpires. But, you know, the big news this week is you're going into the Fed tomorrow and you're going into the ECB this week as well. So central bank is back in front of investors' mind and will continue to be a focal point for all of 2023. Right now, bond market's pricing at a 96% chance of a 25 basis point rate hike tomorrow, which is in line with our expectations. I think you're going to hear Powell talk extremely tough. He's going to try to tamper down expectations because we are seeing liquidity come back into the market. You know, the 10-year has dropped, mortgage rates have dropped slightly. So he's going to try to talk tough because he doesn't want people expecting that rate hikes are going to happen in 2023. Now, that is what the bond market's pricing in. I don't necessarily think that's what occurs. Best case scenario right now is you hike 25 tomorrow, you hike 25 basis points in March, and then you pause for the remainder of the year as you wait for these rate hikes to actually take effect. Because as we previously said, the data is lagging by 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring up a point to all of you. We heard that McDonald's had a very, very, you know, strong showing, and bravo tous. But my question is America eating not healthy? Because there's such a... You know, if you're going into McDonald's, you're ordering fries and a cheeseburger and a Coke.
Yes.
I want to talk about that.
America's the most obese country in the world. We know that wholeheartedly. Our diet here is nowhere compared from a health perspective across the entire spectrum of the world, unless you go into third world countries and emerging countries that are struggling in terms of poverty. The other thing, though, you got to remember, Teddy, is you have inflation earlier this year at 9.1%. Mm-hmm. If you're a blue-collar worker making $75,000, if not less, a year, your costs just jumped enormously. And if you're going to be feeding a family of two, three, four, you have to start figuring out where you're going to be cutting out of your budget. And unfortunately, a lot of that comes to discretionary spending like food.
No, I agree with that, but I want to bring up another point. And I'm actually curious to you, because I know that my two daughters, who are pretty much in your age group, you know, they eat healthy and they would not go into McDonald's until it was the absolute last resort. You know, for that same, you can buy a salad, you can order a salad for the same amount. I think, you know, there are alternative, you know, ways of eating something healthy on a low budget. That the point I'm trying to make is, you know, is it healthy?
Well, I'm going to jump in here because I think it's like, you know, there's a long discussion on undernourished and overweight in this country because people buy calories. I think Manny's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. People buy calories. They don't buy necessarily health. In order for you to have those kinds of choices or health choices, you need to have a certain level of affluence. So I think that's what we're seeing right now. So I agree with Manny's assessment of this. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the fact that you are seeing an increased pressure in the wallet, and then you see people just, you know,
but if you go to McDonald's, it's not that cheap, guys. Let's face it.
You're
better off to go to a pizza place and buy a pizza.
Or a salad.
Then go to McDonald's.
I do go to McDonald's and Burger King's every once in a while. Once a month I'm either at Burger King or McDonald's. And unless you buy the luncheon special, you know, a Big Mac, a fry, and a small Coke is $11.
But they had dollar menus, right? They have like dollar menus. They have like things like that.
Yeah.
So those things, that's where people go. They don't go get the big burger. They get the dollar menu. They get a little burger for their kid. They get like little fries, and that's it. And that ties you over. People eat like, you know, people on food stamps, you know, they ran out of like the money by the 15th or the 16th of the month, and they end up like, you know, going ketchup packets and white bread. So, you know, the issue of calories and, you know, health food is a big issue. And I think, you know, it's just with the economic pressures, it gets worse. You know, I think it's a big issue. I think you're absolutely right, because then you have the other end of it. We haven't, you know, which is sort of like, you know, covered implicit into your argument, which is the health issue.
Right.
Because if you're going to have this kind of a diet to begin with, you're going to pay for it as a society when it comes to health care later on. Mm-hmm. Right, so you have all kinds of other issues that pop up. So that's an issue as well. So this issue of food is a big, big thing, and I think it gets exposed with the economic pressures.
Mm-hmm. Bingo, good topic.
I mean, in Europe, most of our food they're not really accepted because we use a lot of chemicals,
processed foods.
Carcinogenic, you know, like and you know, in Europe there are, you know, abandoned, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, anyway, continue, my Manoli.
What do you want to talk about next, Burger King?
Yeah. Attaboy,
So you feel that tomorrow the interest rates will go up at 25
points.
Quarter of a point. Okay.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Okay. I mean, it's priced in at 96, but I think that will be the biggest surprise of the week if it doesn't happen.
So, question.
So you're going to get... Yeah, go ahead.
Is it going to continue going up, or there is any way that it's going to stop and eventually it's going to go down?
No, you know, so the terminal rate that's been priced in since all of last year is about 5% for the terminal rate. We're close to there now. We're at about 475, 450. Mm-hmm. So you really have room for a 25 now and a 25 in March, and that's all that's priced in for the remainder of this year and on a go-forward basis. Mm-hmm. So we are at the peak of the tightening cycle. The question is, they're not going to reverse course very quickly. They are going to stay elevated for quite some time because they are fearful that if they blink as they did in the 70s, it's going to recreate the whole Greenspan environment where you needed to hike rates substantially after a disinflationary bout, and then essentially inflation came roaring all the way back up, and we have to decimate the economy to fight it. So they're trying to not have that course play out again. So they will remain higher for longer. Just because they stop in March doesn't mean by June we're cutting 25 basis points.
Yeah. Because according to the government, you know, like the inflation has been reduced, you know, like from 9.1% to 6.9%, I think.
Less than that.
So therefore, I don't know how accurate the government is, you know, because normally they really...
They skew the numbers.
Yeah. So
the thing is, Costa, though, is they have a mandate of 2% inflation. So they might be able to live in a world where inflation's 3-4% for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to need to see multiple quarters of CPI printing below 2% to even get to the opportunity to cut rates, unless something dire happens in the economy and growth just gets decimated. At the moment, though, the economy is still growing pretty decently, and that's what's catching a lot of people by surprise.
Well, what about the activity during the Christmas time? The way I understood, it was lower.
It was better.
Yeah.
It was lower than years past, but it was better than expected. But here's the problem: January has been much slower. Mm-hmm, so you're from an earnings standpoint, right now January has been a pretty slow month for most companies. And if the Dallas Fed just came out with their services report and manufacturing reports, and the comments coming from some of these companies are not looking good. Mm-hmm. And they range all industries.
Yeah. I see.
I heard something interesting yesterday. I'm sure you're aware, Bed Bath & Beyond not doing well at all. But I also heard that most of their leases are already in demand with some of the stronger retailers that are out there. AKA, they mentioned, what is it up the street, TJ Maxx, those kind of companies. There are some that are still doing very well and are looking for some of these prime locations. So I guess that's, what is it that, the TJ Maxx is doing right that Bed Bath & Beyond did wrong,
Well, you're right. Well, Bed Bath & Beyond should have been out of business a long time ago. And if it wasn't for the meme stock environment that took place in 2021, they probably would have been.
Yeah.
So it's just, a domino effect. Mm-hmm. Brick and mortar retail should do decently. Mm-hmm. That is not your concern in the real estate perspective. Your concern is office space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what happens now that most office space have a variable rate on their mortgages? Mm-hmm. So there's been a big story. It hasn't been really truly followed, but you have a lot of landlords across the country just handing keys over to banks because their monthly payment exploded.
Yeah, they were bought in on variable rate. Mm-hmm. It's empty, and then
correct.
We're gonna hear a lot about that, Nanny, coming up. A lot more,
I think over the next 1 to 2 years, you're going to start to see banks slashing their balance sheets and getting ready for their next economic expansion. So they're going to start selling off pieces of their mortgages books, and mm-hmm. they'll probably start selling them off at a discount within the next 1 to 2 years. That's what we're hearing, especially from the hard money lending side.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the housing. What is your take in regards to the real estate and specifically the housing? And then we'll move on to the commercial. Yeah,
the housing market's been kind of wiped out. Depending on where you're located, you'll feel it more. So, San Francisco's down 30%. There's uh-huh. expectations that Arizona could drop another 25% from here. Locally, we don't really see it or feel it too much because there's such a lackluster number in terms of supply. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be really felt here. But these areas of the country that have been overdeveloped for the last couple of years, think Arizona in particular, where you have, just a crazy amount of building going on due to the demand that they saw going into COVID, that is now reversing course. The other thing is your pool of buyers has declined due to a higher mortgage rate. Mm-hmm. So you're actually seeing the housing market grind to a halt, which was expected given the rise in interest rates. The only way that you reverse course here is if you can get Fed cuts to happen and you live in a world where mortgage rates go back to 5%, potentially 4.5%. Mm-hmm. That will get things stimulated again.
But that,
moment,
that,
the housing market has been grinded to a halt.
It does not affect the price, though, because, I wouldn't mind paying higher interest rate if I can get, a piece of property and the price will be reduced by 25 or 30%.
Well, it's kind of 6 to 1.
Okay, so actually, that's actually,
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100%. So that's what the industry is looking at now is when do price cuts start happening to make up for the higher mortgage cost.
Yeah. Because I know in Florida, prices have been reduced, but not drastically. A couple of years ago, they went up 40%. Now they're down 25%, so they're still ahead 15%. So, therefore, I don't know. And it was the forecast. You think it's going to get worse?
That's the thing. When's the bottom? When's the top? It's trying to play that game and trying to be close,
Especially and what's going to determine that is going to be Fed policy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we cut rates in 2024, the real estate market's going to go way back higher again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we continue to live in a world where interest rates remain elevated for longer, then you would imagine that the housing market continues to stagnate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think you'll see a 3.5% home mortgage rate within the next 10 years? Or are those days, were we one and out?
10 years? Yeah.
Really?
10 years, maybe.
Really?
I don't think you're going to go back to 2%.
No.
I don't know if we'll ever see that environment again. But don't forget, guys, like right now where we are is exactly where where interest rates were in the 90s.
Exactly.
The 90s were a pretty good period of time.
Yeah.
Guys, go back to 80s.
Yeah, we've all discussed
this. As we're older guys. Yeah. I mean, come on, you know, like, are you kidding me? You used to get like 8%. It was a hell of a deal, you know.
Yeah. But Gusto, what was the price? Come on. At the same time, you have to look at the other side of the ledger.
That's what I said
exactly
earlier. I won't mind paying high interest rate if the price will be reduced. You know. Yeah.
Right.
Difficulty.
Yeah.
And that's the remaining question: is do interest rates come down to make that value? And again, it's the same thing in the stock market. Right now, the sky's not falling. You're going through a valuation reset due to interest rates. Because when interest rates are at zero, you could, in perpetuity, raise cash flows and count cash flows to earnings in infinity if interest rates are at zero.
Yeah.
It's just it's a cost analysis, the future cash flow analysis, and a discounted cash flow analysis. So when it's at zero, valuations can go to an infinity. What happens now when you hike rates faster than any period in time, you're going through a valuation reset. So in real estate world, you either need to see, you know, the price of that property come down to meet where the current interest rate is, or for interest rates to drop from here to make that valuation continue to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Τελικά, Μανώλη, δεν ξέρω. I'm confused. I don't think I'm going to make any money this week.
That's why
Manoli, I hope you're going to take us out to lunch this week sometime, you know, like us that we live on fixed income, you know.
You put your money with Manoli and he takes care of it.
Make sure that...
No question about that. Let me tell you, you're definitely, you know your stuff so well. I'm really impressed.
Let me give Manoli his phone number.
Not only me, but a lot of my friends.
People, yeah. Actually, it was nice to see you on Saturday night as well, Manny. Anyway, 617-212-8343. 617-212-8343. Manolis Frangiadakis available to you for any kind of conversation one-on-one. Closing comments, Stamati, Manoli, anything?
I want a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
You want the Super Bowl prediction? I'm heavy on the Eagles.
Me too. Yeah,
guys, they're only favored by 1.5.
That's all.
So one and a half points. Probably going to go 2, maybe. So I'll take, you know, I really dislike Casey. Mm-hmm. But, you know, since we didn't make any money in the stock market today, I'll take KC and probably I'll make some money.
I'll take Reed and KC because Reed has something to settle with the Eagles too, right? So he was the coach.
He used to be the coach there as well. Green Bay. He was at the
Anyway.
You know, I'm not too, you know, Mahomes. You know,
and I also like Ike in the Greek.
Yeah, that's it.
With the pork, of course, I got it. To Panathinaikos, to Aiton Olympiakos.
Gentlemen, have a terrific, terrific day. We'll regroup next Tuesday. Market update with Manny Frangiadakis each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock right here on Grecian Echoes.
We'll see you on
Thursday. See you guys. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Adia. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, let me play a quick song here.